Mikey and Big Bob had a tremendous debate on Kiss FM this morning about side dishes at Thanksgiving. I think there's only one way to do Thanksgiving. The first component is obviously turkey. There's no substitute for turkey. I know a family who had a pasta Thanksgiving. They should have had a punch in the face Thanksgiving or a kick in the balls Thanksgiving. That should be in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other bird before me. And I'm equally strict as we move down the Thanksgiving totem pole. Stuffing is the number one side. Period. Number one side, stuffing. No debate. Mashed potatoes is number two. Gravy on everything. You know when you eat so much at Thanksgiving, you loosen your belt and maybe unfasten the button on your pants? When I do that, I pour gravy down there. It's awesome. If you got a dog, you're in for a real treat. His tongue does all the work. So, that's non-negotiable. Turkey, stuffing, mashed, gravy. After that, until dessert, I don't give a rat's ass. Heck, you could serve a rat's ass. Heroin, whatever. I'm sticking with the basics. Turkey, then more turkey. Stuffing, then more stuffing. More potatoes, more gravy. I might dabble in a good green bean casserole. I hear Val Porter's is really good. But it better be good or you're wearing it. No offense, Val. I'm not a fan of yams. I'm not even totally sure what yams are. Are they sweet potatoes? Is that one and the same? Are yams and sweet potatoes different? So I just avoid the debate. Cranberry sauce? Meh. Dinner rolls are okay, but you really need more carbs. Dessert is big. Pumpkin pie is a must. Dutch apple pie is a must, pumpkin roll, pumpkin cake, pumpkin anything, and a bunch of whipped cream for everything. Ice cream, not so much, whipped cream. Afterward, if you want to play touch football, that's a Thanksgiving tradition. If you want to subjugate indigenous people and act like you did them a favor years later, well, I don't endorse that. But that's not just Thanksgiving tradition, it's American tradition. Me, I usually go to the casino and gamble. Mikey and I debated on Twitter, is gravy a side or a condiment? I said the latter, he said the former. But we agree that it is crucial and irreplaceable. And as I've already mentioned, it has great value as a lubricant. Not too hot, though. Too hot, that's a mistake. Captain Emo brought to us by 84 Lumber, helping you build the right way since 1956, and by Wall Family Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. By the time dinner's over and the gravy cools down, it's perfect for down the front of your pants. Absolutely perfect. If you don't have a dog, get one. Mikey had corn casserole on his list. I'm not huge on corn in any context. Big Bob provided food for thought when he said cornbread, and I do love cornbread. I'd rather have cornbread than dinner rolls. He also mentioned sweet carrot souffle. That sounds like a name for a headline stripper. Let's welcome to the stage sweet carrot souffle. And then he said sweet potato casserole topped with crispy, melted, gooey marshmallows. I gotta differ. It's Thanksgiving. There's not a campfire. We're not making vegetarian s'mores. If you'd like to chime in on the Thanksgiving debate, dial 412-333-WXDX. If you'd like to make fun of Tom Brady, I think that's just great to do after last night. After he just, that last interception, he just floated it up there. You know when you're playing schoolyard football, I don't know how you played schoolyard football as a kid, but what we did was, when you kicked off and when you punted, if the size of the field was kind of limited, you threw the punt. You threw the kickoff. That's what that last Brady interception reminded me of. He threw up a punt. And I've seen quarterbacks do the equivalent of that. You know, if you're just taking a shot deep late in the first half, and if they intercept it, no big deal because there's no time to run it back up. One of Ben's interceptions was like that earlier this year. But that was with a chance to win the game. And I'm telling you that now with Brady, he got that ball seemingly with a chance to win the game, and I knew he wouldn't. Mahomes got the ball in the same spot Sunday night, and I knew he would. Brady got the ball last night with a chance to win the game, and I knew he wouldn't, and he didn't. And AB, there were a couple shots of him in the huddle. Like, you could see through the huddle and look at him. His eyes were like pinpricks. That was early. He was so mad he wasn't getting the ball enough, and at some point he's going to blow. Whenever AB rides home with Brady, because I guess he's still staying at Brady's, right? He's probably like the kid in Little League whose dad, like, didn't bat him clean up. Whose dad, like, dropped him to seventh in the order because, you know, he ain't been hitting that good. He's mad, but you don't want to yell at dad. But sooner or later, you do yell at dad. And sooner or later, Antonio Brown will do exactly that. And I cannot wait. Let's go to Hoagie, who's been on hold for over 10 minutes. Hoagie, you're on with Double M.
Double M, what up, man?
What up, man?
So, about Roethlisberger and the MVP, I think at the end of the year, and I don't know the numbers, I'm sure you're current with the numbers, but someone with more yardage, more touchdowns, less interceptions, stuff like that.
Yeah, but what if he goes 16-0?
Well, I agree.
If he goes 16-0, how do you not give him the MVP?
I just think that they're against him in certain ways from the accusation.
Oh no, they're against him in a lot of ways. But if he's 16-0, I don't know how they don't waive that.
Well, I could see him doing it.
You know what? I hate to say it, Hoagie. I can see them doing it, too. Your real name's not Hoagie, is it?
Yes, sir. I've been on before. I called about AB a couple
of
years.
No. I don't care about your history as a caller. Is your real name Hoagie?
Yes.
Your first name is Hoagie?
Yes.
Why did your parents name you Hoagie?
My dad was a hippie, man. I don't know. He's, you know, old stoner. You can bust my chops. I can't help it.
I'm not busting your chops. It's just, I mean, were you named after Hoagie Carmichael?
That happens to be my last name as well.
Your real name is Hoagie Carmichael.
Yes, sir.
Oh, for God's sakes. And I want to cut this off because that's such a dated reference. And the kids today, we can't give the kids dated reference, although you could Google who Hoagie Carmichael is. And if you do, let me know because I'm not actually sure myself. Let's go to Tyler in Aspinwall. Tyler, you're on with Double M.
Hey, Mark. First time caller. I'm a transfer from Utah. I was curious if you've ever had a Mormon cuisine called funeral potatoes.
Mormon cuisine.
I used to be a Mormon, and they're big on food gatherings, and there's always
everybody's
funeral
big
potatoes.
On food gatherings. But I haven't been to a good Mormon restaurant in quite some time. Now, what exactly are funeral potatoes?
Basically just like a cheesy baked potato casserole.
Why are they called funeral potatoes? Because the ingredients will eventually kill you at a young age? Because it sounds like it.
Probably, but generally Mormons will always cook for the families at funerals, and there's always these potatoes in many different
Versions. That's why they're called funeral potatoes, because when somebody
kicks
the Mormon bucket, they serve up the cheesy potatoes.
Yep, every time.
I like that tradition, don't you?
Yeah, it's great. They're great potatoes. I just wondered if you'd ever had them. Never had them.
I never have. I've had cheesy potatoes, and I'm not a big fan, honestly, of cheesy potatoes, because you know what tends to happen? Maybe the Mormons get it right, Tyler, but cheesy potatoes tend to be overwhelmed with cheese. Almost anything made with cheese tends to be overwhelmed with cheese. Am I right?
There is a delicate balance that you have to hit.
I'll give you an example. When I order an omelet, because that's my favorite breakfast food, when I order an omelet, I always tell them, use half as much cheese as you normally would. And they
that's
listen.
That's like me ordering at Chipotle.
And they listen because I'm a big celebrity. And salt of the earth, let's not forget, if you're just tuning in, I gave $500 to Pittsburgh Food Bank yesterday. I gave $500 to the Mario Lemieux Foundation today, and give to Mario's Foundation because, We'll give to the food bank. It's Thanksgiving. But the Mario Foundation, till December 31st, if you whatever you give, Mario and Natalie will match. So when he beat me out of that $6,600, I got $500 back from him today. Except I had to give $500 to do it. So maybe I outsmarted myself, and not for the first time either. But I'm the salt of the earth. I am the most noble person in Pittsburgh. Nobody cares more than I do. Is it safe to say that? Nobody cares more than the super genius. I think it's fair to say that. So, any hoodles, 412-333-WXDX. If you want to get calls in, now's the time. We have Stan at 4:30. If the Steelers go 16-0, will Ben get the MVP? And if they go 16-0 and he doesn't get MVP, how would they possibly justify not giving it to him? I know how they'll justify not giving it to him, Mahomes. Because Mahomes is overwhelming. If Ben goes 16-0 and Mahomes goes 15-1, maybe Mahomes even deserves it. But how can you not give the MVP to the best guy on the team that goes 16-0? Who the frig was more valuable? How would you determine that somebody else was more valuable? Now, we were talking about Hines Ward for the Hall of Fame. I don't think he's going to make it. He does have 1,000 catches, but where he really gives himself a lesser chance is he only caught 12,083 yards worth of passes. His yards per is hardly near Hall of Fame levels, and guys like Jimmy Smith, Brandon Marshall, Irving Fryer, Henry Ellard, they have more receiving yards than Hines Ward. I just don't think he's going to make it. And I know what you're going to say. And I know what Ed Bouchette will say when he makes his case for Hines Ward at that meeting. That Hines Ward's the best blocking receiver in NFL history. And when that happens, all the others in that room that debate who should go in the NFL Hall of Fame will rise up as one and say, Ed, we don't give a rat's ass about none of that. 105.9 EX.
Experience your neighborhood news like never before at neighborhoods.triblive.com.
This report is sponsored by Panera Bread.
Stop and go.
You're right. They should play without a goalie.
VX at 105.9.
Okay, we got an update from the Ravens. Another player has been put on the COVID list. Linebacker Pernell McPhee. He joins Dobbins, Ingram, and Brandon Williams on the COVID list. More are expected to go on. And even though they say this game's going to be played Thursday night, I'm starting to have my doubts. Ben was limited in practice today, and it said it was NIR, which is not injury-related, / quad. It said both. It can't be both. If it's not injury-related, what's the quad have to do with it? But that is so Ben, and this could help his MVP candidacy. His quad was paralyzed. He couldn't move his quad. It was rolling up and down his leg like a damn window shade, but he went out there and led the Steelers to victory over the Ravens on a cold Thanksgiving night. First off, I'm not sure it's going to be cold. Second off, they still wouldn't vote him MVP. Also, I'm told that Mel's Pizza in Katanning has a turkey pizza. It has turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy on it, and the crust is good and very strong, as it would have to be, because that's a that sounds like a mess. I'd love to try it, though. And also, I found out who Hoagy Carmichael is. He was an American singer, songwriter, and actor. Born in 1899, died in 1981. He played Dean Vernon Wormer in Animal House. And then as soon as filming was over, he dropped dead right next to the horse. Let's go to Mac in Florida. Mac, you're on with Double M.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mark.
And to you, Mac.
Personally, I think Ben has also a shot at winning the MVP if the Steelers finish with the best record in the NFL as well.
Nope, have to be undefeated, and even then, I bet he would not get it.
Well, I'm hopeful that he does get it if they finish with the best record. I would compare it to something like Stargell winning the MVP back in 79 when there
were Stargell was a lovable guy. Ben is not seen as a lovable guy. And the ironic part is Stargell was a dink, and Ben is a nice guy. But it's about the public and the media perception. Here's a tweet from John that's typical of why Ben won't win MVP. Ben won't win MVP because he's not in the same category as guys like Wilson, Mahomes, and Henry. He doesn't take over games. If the Steelers had a good backup, they would be manageable without Ben. Ben can't even throw a deep ball. Yeah, except for that 31-yard rainbow that landed right in Chase Claypool's arms this past Sunday. I'm sorry, Ben's more valuable to his team this year than Russell Wilson or Derrick Henry. The only argument you could make is for Patrick Mahomes and, on the periphery, Aaron Rodgers. Doesn't take over games. They're 10-0. The term is valuable. Valuable. And last year, they went 8-8 without Ben. Actually, 8-6 because Ben was 0-2. John tweets, I disagree with your guest Vinny, who said the Steelers would be good without Ben, but the Chiefs would be a 9-win team without Mahomes. Did he see the Steelers play last year? Well, John, the Steelers were 8-6 with Duck and Rudolph. They were. I don't know what that means relevant to Ben's MVP candidacy, because 10-0 is a long way from what the Steelers did last year. Let's go to Steve on Route 18. Steve, you're on with Double M.
Hello, Mark. How you doing?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, I just was thinking that if Ben doesn't win it, it's probably because the voting is rigged. And if it is, he needs to hire a New York mayor as a lawyer. Yeah,
now, you see, you thought it would be funny, but I did a variation of that joke like when it was fresh, and I'm not even sure it was that funny then. Let's go to Mike in the car. Mike, you're on with Mark.
Hey, what up, Mark? I got two questions for you.
Oh, good.
First one is, do you think that, let's say the Steelers keep winning, you think week 16 that they'll throw in like Rudolph and Snell and rest of the starters keeping fresh?
Well, that would be week 17 against Cleveland, and I think that depends on whether or not the Steelers have a bye. If the Steelers have a bye, I don't think they're going to sit guys for week 17, because then they'd be sitting out two weekends between having played and then playing a playoff game. I think that would be ill-advised, don't you?
Yeah, true. All right, second question. Do you think if the Steelers win the Super Bowl, that Ben's going to go out on top like the bus?
No, I think Ben will keep playing. I think Ben would like to win two more Super Bowls to get as many as Bradshaw. I think he said that. Let's take another quickie, because I like a quickie. That's all I'm capable of, really. Bill in Bergenstein, you're on with Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, do you think Lamar Jackson is even qualified enough to face Ben Thursday?
Yeah, he's the reigning and defending NFL MVP, so I think that he deserves to start for Baltimore on Thursday. Yes, I do. Why?
Because he lost a few games before. You don't think that makes
sense? He's the reigning and defending. Well, okay, you're right. They should play the backup. Anything else?
Maybe.
Anything else? Anything else? Okay, good, good. We're done then. Let's go to Nathan in Omaha. Nathan, you're on with Double M. Real quick, Nathan.
What's up, Big Sexy? I think it's actually great that the Steelers and Ben have been slighted by the national media. I mean, if you're on that team and you've been performing as well as they have this year, don't you think that really lights a fire in them to want to go out and prove the national media wrong every week?
No, I don't think. I think going 10-0 and having a shot at the Super Bowl is reward of itself. I think that sometimes grudges are addressed after the fact, but I think they have no bearing on motivation for the accomplishment. Although Ben does hear and read everything that involves him, for sure. Okay, Stan next, 105.9.
From the Dollar Energy Fund Weather Center.
Cloudy and overcast tonight with an overnight low reaching 39. Rain on and off throughout the day on Wednesday.
And the occasional nickel.
VX at 105.9.
One more Steeler injury note. Juju limited a practice but is expected to play after tripping on the penalty flag. Joining me now, he is the godfather of the Pittsburgh sports media. A pleasure to talk to Stan Saverin. Stan, the Ravens have had four players go in the COVID list. I just have a feeling the game's going to be pushed back. The league says no, and it's Thursday night on prime time, but I think it's going to be pushed back. What's your hunch?
I suppose it's always possible, but if they do that now, we're talking, as of this moment, a little more than 48 hours. I would think, not that they have the final say-so, but NBC is going to be really reluctant, you know, to move that game. You know, people are accustomed to watching the primetime game on Thanksgiving night. This is a pretty attractive matchup compared to some others they've had. I honestly don't know offhand, Mark, what the Sunday night game on NBC is. Maybe they would, you know, move whatever's scheduled, move that down to a daytime and move the game to Sunday night. But I think NBC will fight like hell to keep this game, because that game, I don't care who's playing, it generates monster ratings. That's about the only maneuver I see they have in their bag.
By the way, now I'm told Joe Hayden did not practice today, so he may be in dot for Thursday. But the Steelers have enough at corner, and the Ravens certainly are going to be missing a lot. Stan, I want to talk about 10-0 going on 16-0. Do you believe the Steelers have a legit chance to go undefeated? I'm beginning to think they just might, although I certainly wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, no, I think they do. They have a legitimate chance. I think we can have a better conversation after this week, although two factors, the COVID issues with the Ravens, they're losing some significant guys, and it's not just the running backs. Now we find out that Pernell McPhee, who's, really, important defensive player for them, looks like he's not going to be able to play. So that's one thing. Number two, the Ravens are kind of in a state of disarray outside of the pandemic. Ever since they lost the Steelers, they've gone on this losing streak. All of a sudden, they're fighting for their playoff lives. Forget about the division. If they get past them, however, and then have 10 days to recover with a bad Washington team coming in here, I think you can have that conversation. I still think that the biggest hurdle they'll have, if they go into Buffalo undefeated, will be Buffalo. Sunday night game, Buffalo, I don't think they're as good as the Steelers. I don't think they're as good as Kansas City.
Well, Stan, forgive the interruption, but interesting stat with them. They have more wins over teams with winning records than any team in the league with four, and the Steelers, who are supposed to have played this terrible schedule, they're right behind them with three.
Yeah, I think people... on that level, I know it's not what you asked me. So much of the national media, they look at 10-0. Maybe we do that too, looking for things that aren't as good as they might be. But I think people see 10-0, and unless it's Kansas City, say, yeah, but. Looking for stories and, how they might not be able to continue. I think the Buffalo game will be very difficult. And then once you get past that, if they get past that, I'm going to assume, for example, that Indianapolis will need that game when they get here. The Steelers may not. Kansas City has some tough games ahead. They have to go to Tampa this week. They have to go to New Orleans. Breeze will be back. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, it's entirely possible the Steelers could have the bye wrapped up. So then that all becomes very iffy. But I think the Buffalo game, if we're thinking 16-0, I think the Buffalo game would be a sticking point. And again, Indianapolis and Cleveland, I think it really depends on each team's circumstance.
Looking at the game, which is scheduled for Thursday night, do the Steelers have Lamar Jackson's number? Because Keith Butler says no, the defensive coordinator, but what we've seen the last couple games indicates they do.
I think a lot of teams now have Lamar Jackson's number. It doesn't mean that he's not dangerous. It doesn't mean you say, oh, don't worry about it. I expect to see more of him running the ball because of their top two running backs not being there. I think you're going to see more of him keeping the ball on the outside, RPOs rather than straight running plays. I think a lot of teams have figured out Lamar Jackson. I mean, they haven't neutralized him, but they've minimized what he can do. And I'm not surprised. This league, whatever you think of it, teams catch on. Teams catch up. Going back to the days when Cordell was a phenomenon. After about a year or after about one season, even before he became the starting quarterback, a lot of those option runs that he ran, teams began to figure out what to do. I think they've done that with Lamar Jackson. I don't think it's all his fault. They lost a first ballot Hall of Famer on the offensive line. They lost some key people to free agency. They've had some injuries. Every team does.
And Stan, they just don't have receivers.
No, they don't. That's on them. I mean, their tight end is excellent. But the rest of the wide receivers, Marquise Brown, you have to keep an eye on him, but there's no support there. And that organization is very good in getting personnel. How they thought they were going to get by with Willie Snead as their number two receiver, just a possession.
You're second person to say that today. Vinny Iyer from the Sporting News said that exact phrase today.
That's sorry. I wasn't listening at the time. I'm sorry.
No, I just don't think Willie Snead would be pleased to hear all this.
No. Well, you know what? They might be better with Sammy Snead. You know, he's a possession guy. And he can pick up first downs. But, you know, how they thought they were going to go into this season and not have better than what they have receiving-wise, I mean, they're not the same team, you know. And it's unlikely the teams go 14-2. You know, we saw it last year. We may see two teams do it this year, but it's not usual. So, overall, they're not as good. But I think the Steelers were one of the forerunners. And I was talking to Charlie Batch today on my show, Mark, and I said, what do they do to him? And I said, do you think he's a bad passer? And he said, no, I don't think he's a bad passer, but I think what the Steelers have done to him, they identify whoever their top receiver is, and they are now forcing Lamar Jackson to go to a second read and a third read. I mean, if you give him time, you know, he's got a good arm, and he's not that inaccurate, but now, and the Steelers were doing this a couple years ago when they first saw him, they are forcing him to look at the second read, the third read. It's not easy for any young quarterback, especially one who likes to run with the ball. So that is, Charlie thinks, is the primary reason they've done such a good job with him.
Well, I agree with all that, but I don't think he's a good pure passer either, Stan. And I think that does crop up. It's interesting that you think, and I agree, that with Ingram and Dobbins sideline because of COVID, that Jackson will run more because ordinarily you'd want to protect him. But they really need a win. Then again, God forbid he get hurt.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. If they lose, even if he's healthy, they're dead. If they win and he gets hurt, they're dead. So they've got to keep him healthy, and they've got to win. I wonder what their mentality is going to be. Coming in, they've got to be losing a game like that to Tennessee, especially with all that was going on pregame. You know, they like to think of themselves as the, you know, big bad Baltimore, badasses and all that kind of stuff. Well, they got punished. They got pushed around, and that was just in the pregame, let alone the game. So I think they're going to come in here, you know, 6-4. If they lose to the Steelers and drop to 6-5, sometimes teams just fall apart. And look, that guy's a good coach. You might not like him, and you might not like the Ravens. It's a good organization. They really do a great job. But look, every team has its tipping point, especially when they were trying to get even for losing in the first round of the playoffs for a second straight year.
Do the Steelers have the best receiving core in football? Because you could make that argument, and that tastes pretty sweet with AB not really doing much in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, speaking of Tampa Bay, I think that now the Buccaneers are going to have to give back the Vince Lombardi trophy they were awarded by the national media in August.
Stan, they look terrible last night, and Brady, he got that ball at the end, and I knew he wouldn't get it done, and that's the first time I've ever felt that way about Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the last 2 years. You know, he's not the same. He's 43. But I just look at that, and, you know, they loaded up, you know, getting all the stars, right? Like a hockey team making trades at the deadline. We're going to get him. We're going to put together an all-star team. Doesn't work. They get Brady. They got Gronkowski. I understand that. Then they add Leonard Fournette. Then they add AB, and they're sitting there at 7-4. And they're going to have to struggle to make the playoffs now, although I hope they beat Kansas City on Sunday. I forgot your question. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, talking about the Steelers receiving core, that it's probably
yes.
The best in football from top to bottom.
I couldn't wait to get my shots in at Tampa Bay. I think so. In fact, I know so. I don't see any other group as deep, and I'm including Ebron here, as deep, as diverse. I think that's the key. They're all very good and very talented, but they each bring a little something different to the table. And I remember you asking me before the season began, can they win without a number one receiver? And my answer was exactly what I'm saying now. Yes, because, as we know, Ben doesn't have that big mouth in his ear all the time. But aside from that, again, they're all very good, and each guy presents something a little bit different, a little bit of a different challenge to the defense. And given Ben's brilliance this year, given his accuracy and given their skills, I'm sorry, I've not seen any team that's even close. I mean, Tampa's got some good receivers, but they're not nowhere as deep or as talented as the Steeler group is.
Stan, I've been thinking about the circumstances that could force Ben to get the MVP award, because they're not considering him at all right now. I think that's pretty obvious. I think it's already in Mahomes' hands, barring injury to him. But if the Steelers go 16-0, how can Ben not be the MVP? How could he not?
One would think, especially, and it shouldn't be one game, but especially if they beat Kansas City to get there. Maybe that weighs on voters' minds. Although I'm thinking that they vote at the end of the regular season. They do that in most sports. Be that as it may, if let's say they finish 16-0, you have to make the case. The thing about Ben is that he's not as flashy as Kansas as Mahomes is. I mean, Mahomes is just brilliant. I mean, that last minute drive against the Raiders, he's just insane. He's just scary good, and so are they. But I think that the home run hitter always gets more attention than the guy who leads in batting average. I'm sure Ben would love the award, but I don't think it'll be anything that keeps him up at night. He's got three little kids who will do that for him. But I think he deserves it. If he doesn't get it, and Mahomes does, you could make that argument. I mean, it's just like, for example, if Joe Burrow had stayed healthy, chances are he was going to be Rookie of the Year. Maybe it should be Chase Claypool. It's also entirely possible that Rookie of the Year goes to Herbert. He's a terrific prospect, but what are they, 3-7? But that's just the way it works. Remember, Chuck Knoll never won Coach of the Year.
Stan, who's not going to make the playoffs in the AFC? Because all of a sudden, if you look below Pittsburgh and Kansas City, it gets kind of crazy, don't it?
Yeah, it really does. I really think if Baltimore loses Thursday, I think they're in big trouble. And again, 6-5, they would certainly still be in it. But I think about the mental aspect. Even though they're really well coached and it's a good organization, teams tend to fall apart. Of course, we don't know how long Dobbins and those guys or McPhee might be out. That's a variable too. I think the Dolphins are going to make it. I think New England is going to be out. And I wonder about the Raiders. I actually think, the Raiders will, have a better shot than Baltimore at this point in time. Cleveland, they've got a pretty easy schedule. They've got at Jacksonville this week. They also are on the road, but it's against the Giants and the Jets. So there you go. I mean, the Browns still have the Steelers on the last game. They still have Baltimore. That game is in Cleveland. But again, who knows what shape Baltimore will be in. And Cleveland has Tennessee. That could be difficult for them. Their defense is not very physical or very stout. And now they've lost Denzel Ward for at least 3 weeks. So, I mean, I think Cleveland is still in jeopardy, even though they're sitting at 7-3. I definitely think Baltimore, if they lose to the Steelers Thursday, I think they're done. Stick a fork in them.
Stan, great stuff. As always, a pleasure. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk next week.
We sure will. Happy Thanksgiving, Mark.
That is the great Stan Saverin. He's brought to you by the law firm of Shenderovich. Shenderovich and Fishman, they got your back and not your wallet. Is anybody kind of getting a creepy feeling that game's not going to be played? The Ravens have four key guys on the COVID list, and that shouldn't matter, but I wonder if it won't. Then again, Stan made a real good point about how NBC is not going to want that game to be switched. That is an NBC game, I think. And they're not going to want to lose that game. There's no other game to move into that slot because another network's not giving up their game on Thanksgiving Day. But boy, when you say the health and safety of the players come first and you're worrying about network time slots, what kind of message are you sending? And what if that message gets picked up upon, let's say, in the next 24 hours? And they get taken to task and they come off looking bad. Then again, how often is the NFL that concerned about looking bad? What do you guys think? Will the game come off on Thursday? And do you think Ben is guaranteed the MVP if the Steelers go undefeated? I think he should be. I don't think he is. I think he should be, but I don't think he is. Also, let's laugh at Brady and AB, because last night that was funny. As I tweeted, the minute Brady threw that pop-up for an interception, that looked like a throw in an elevator shaft. He threw it straight up. After he threw that pick, I tweeted, that's like a cure for erectile dysfunction. It was for me, anyway. 105.9 The X.
When you think of Black Friday, you probably think of long lines and one-day sales events.
But chaps, would that help at all?
If they what?
The X at 105.9.
Okay, here's the kind of stuff that pisses you off. ESPN just put up a poll. Which rookie wide receiver would you build your offense around? And Chase Claypool's not included. Chase Claypool and his 10 friggin' touchdowns isn't included. It's CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, and T. Higgins. And those are all good receivers. But to not include Chase Claypool in that is just absurd. But the Steelers, 10-0, they do have a disrespect theme. And I always say that disrespect is overrated, that fans and even players are too sensitive when it comes to disrespect. And it's usually just a tempest in a teapot. With the Steelers, though, at 10-0, the disrespect regarding them is tangible. And, hey, maybe I'm a part of that because I don't think they look like a juggernaut. But to not include Chase Claypool in that is absurd, and to not include Ben Roethlisberger in MVP conversation and in polls is absurd as well. By the way, I find a new TV series to watch now that I wrapped up Justified. This is a weird choice. I stumbled upon one episode on the Reels Network, and I got hooked, and now I got the DVD. They did a series on the Kennedys. It's like eight parts. It's pretty good from what I've seen so far. I saw like the last episode first by accident. Now I just watched the first one today. But it features Greg Kinnear as John F. Kennedy. And Greg Kinnear is convincing. He's a good mimic while being subtle about it. And Barry Pepper, who played Roger Maris in that movie 61, he plays Robert Kennedy. And Katie Holmes, the ex-Mrs. Tom Cruise, plays Jackie Kennedy. And then there's a sequel. I got the DVD for that too, called The Kennedys After Camelot. Matthew Perry plays my old buddy, the late Ted Kennedy. And I hope nothing bad happens to Matthew Perry. I am very sincere when I say that. Let's go real quick to Will in McKees Rocks. Will, you're on with Double M.
Hey, how you doing?
What up?
Just a comment about this, the Steelers-Baltimore game and the COVID with the outbreak. You know, if it was reversed with the Steelers, you know, having their players test positive, you know, we would probably still have to play the game, you know, instead of moving it.
I think you're probably right, but it depends on if they come down with any more COVID tests, like, tomorrow. If it still appears to be spreading within the team, then you can make the argument that it's not safe. But then again, NBC is going to make the argument, hey, we won our friggin' game on TV Thursday night.
Yeah, and we already had a sacrifice, you know, our bye week with the Titan outbreak.
Yeah, I guess you missed the part where I said health and safety, huh?
Yeah, I guess I did.
Thank you for the call. Okay. Up next, I get mad about something. I always get mad about something for the list. Oh, yeah, this is pretty good. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9 The X.
It's Abby.
I bought masks from bands that I like. I do have this really cool Against Me mask. It looks like I'm screaming, which I am. 6 till 10.